Hello, and welcome to the latest Far Off Places podcast. I'm Annie Rutherford, one of the editors at the magazine, and I'm rather looking forward to listening to this particular podcast myself, as we're featuring one of our rarer readers, Trevor Fountain. When we don't force him to sit in a darkened room with only a collection of short stories and a microphone for company, Trevor is the digital publisher of the magazine. If you happen to read Far Off Places on your iPhone, or if you're a fan of the Pocket Poetry app, then he's the man to thank. Before we get to the short story of the week, though, we've got some exciting news. Far Off Places has opened submissions for its next issue on the theme of The Second Breakfast. We're looking for poetry, prose and drama that is tantalising and tasty, delightful, delirious and delicious. If you think you're up to the job, check out our submission guidelines at faroffplaces.org/submissions. The deadline is June the 30th, so better get writing. Now though, it's time for an unseasonal tale of snow and sleepless nights. Martin Redfern's short story, Stilettos in a Snowstorm, appeared in our last issue, Between the Leaves, so if you like it, do go to faroffplaces.org to get hold of your own copy. This is Stilettos in a Snowstorm by Martin Redfern, read by Trevor Fountain. And if you're sitting comfortably, then we'll begin.
The insistent door knocker pounds its way from the other side of the house up the stairs. It feels like 3 in the morning. There's no hum of passing traffic. I roll over in bed. 11:40 glows green. Peering out, I can see snow softening suburban sounds. I look at Jamie's unfilled half of the bed. My stomach churns. More banging invades the snowy silence before I reach the hall. The opaque glass panel in the door hints at a figure. Slight. Practically childlike. I'm disappointed. Orange from the street lamp catches the snow falling onto whoever's out there, motionless except for a hand raised, about to knock again. I yank the door open, and there she stands, one fist clenched level with my chest. What are you doing here? She's wearing a beige trench coat, the belt tied in a knot. Snowflakes ornament her long, blonde hair, lips fuchsia red. I glance down and despise her. Stilettos in a snowstorm. I don't allow her to reply. What do you want? My car, at the end of your drive. A tear starts to run down her cheek, eyes puffy, inflamed. A gurgling noise rises from a miniature car seat. Stowed safe from the snow at the side of the porch. I ignore it. Can I come in? Just for a minute. I'm worried about him. The cold. She waves her hand at the baby and then back at the falling snow. Broken down. I've called the AA. I watch her, watch me hesitate. Her eyes widening. Please help me, she pleads. You must. For the kid. I think I don't fucking have to do anything for you. I simply stare at her, picturing myself in bed, undisturbed. Even a Jamie-less bed. Shivering, my breath starts to freeze. She's weeping now. Smudged lipstick lends a clown-like quality. The gurgling becomes screams, and I'm curious. Holding the door open, I affect a mock gallant gesture of welcome. Come in. And the heat of the sitting room silences the baby, and her tears. Please, take a seat. Tea? A drink? She looks different from the tattered photo. She was all Grouse Moores and Barber then, but it's her. I was certain instantly.
Yes, please. Tea? No. They won't be long, the AA. Thank you anyway.
Her accent has startled me. I'd always assumed Scottish or English or at least British, but she sounds like Hillary Clinton. Even I could admit she doesn't look like her. You're taking a risk. Strange man's house in the dead of night. I try not to appear threatening. She tosses her head back, instinctively running long fingers through her hair. Surely she realizes flirting is futile. I'm familiar with the neighborhood. I'm sure it's fine. She nods out the window as if to prove her point, and you've been so kind. I untie, and then retie, the cord of my toweled dressing gown. The trench coat, now thrown over the back of a chair, she's immaculately turned out. Is she dressed for combat? We sit, opposite one another on matching cream sofas. She leans forward, I back. Her glance takes in a pile of design magazines on a low table that occupies the intervening terrain. I decide on a preemptive strike. It's time to taunt. I'm Jamie, by the way. She stops thumbing through Interior's New England edition, a swift stare not quite concealing her startled expression. I'd expected more reaction. She straightens her spine, prefers her hand. Right, hi, Morgan, and nodding to the car seat. Stuart. I glance down. I'm Jamie?
What the hell am I playing at?
She relaxes against a cushion. I try not to focus on her perfect profile while she peers around the room. You're here by yourself. Big house, for one. By myself, I shrug. You know how things can turn out. She's scrutinizing me. Sorry.
Would you like to call your husband?
Her response is immediate. He's back in the States. Business. Half standing, she scours up the flight of stairs. May I use your bathroom? Is that okay? Instead, I guide her to a doorway across the hall. My pleasure. Of course. 5 minutes later, lipstick reapplied, she strides back into the room, refreshed, ready, but I make the first move. So, am I what you expected? Her eyes narrow, and then slowly, where is he, you bastard? You're absurd. You were just amusing yourself, weren't you? Toying with me. Christ, what do you think you're doing? Coming here in the middle of the night? In the snow? With a baby? You're more ludicrous than I'd expected. Even more than he told me.
She makes an expansive gesture around the room.
Surrounded by your sad suburban self-importance. Where is he? I feel a blush rush across my cheeks. He would never say that. Would he? Tell me, what did you expect to achieve tonight? Honestly expect? I want to show him his kid. Make him think, realize what he's done. She starts to yell, I want him back! Listen, you stupid bitch. I pause. Jamie's left me too. I don't know where he is either. You're lying. She scans the hall. He has to be here. I hesitate. Look, he's left us both. She lowers her voice, cold now. He told me that you're what he really wants. That I would believe of him, that he'd say that to her. The familiar knot in my stomach twists once more, and the bed feels even emptier. She crumples onto the sofa, and I whisper, he's not here. I look at the snowflakes driving against the window. It's easier than looking at the hunched figure. She pulls on her mac and picks up her child. For heaven's sake, leave. Please. I watch the snow cover her footprints down the drive.
I'll tell the AA you got it started.
publisher by occupation, Martin Redfern also writes short stories and poetry. Martin initially began writing as a displacement activity on business trips, preferring to observe and write about other passengers in airport lounges rather than compile another spreadsheet. Once started, writing became a habit that he couldn't give up, nor would want to. Martin was a runner-up in the Puffin Review's 2013 short story competition on the theme of obsession, and has recently been published in Ink, Sweat and Tears, The Puffin Review, and Obsessed with Pipework. That's all from us for today, folks. Check back in a couple of weeks for more words of wonder and to hear our thoughts on second breakfasts, suppers, pancakes, waffles, smoothies, hot chocolate. I'm sorry, I think I need to nip into the kitchen. Speak to you soon.